opinions expressed by callers, guests, and hosts do not necessarily reflect those of the Black Talk Radio Network and Black Talk Media Project. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs. Gaddafi didn't give up. In the months leading up to the military intervention, he called on African and Muslim nations to join together to create this new currency that would rival the dollar and euro. They would sell oil and other resources around the world only for gold dinars. It's an idea that would shift the economic balance of the world. Countries' wealth would depend on how much gold they have, not how many dollars they trade. And Libya has 144 tons of gold.
Welcome, welcome everyone to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, Dave from LA, and today is a Wise Wednesday. So Brother Davis will be having the show today. Looking forward to that. On today is July the 26th, 2017. It is a Wednesday, a Wise Wednesday, so we're going to definitely have that. But before we get into today's show, everyone continues to support Black Talk Radio Network. You know what to do. Go to the website, www.blacktalkradionetwork, and make sure that you give some of your financial energy, hit the donation prompt that's there, so that this network can continue to do and bring you what it's been bringing you. Make sure that you are feeding the roots from the tree of, from the tree that you are feeding from, else it won't bear any more fruit. Very, very important. Also, you can support the network by being a part of its social media network membership, and it is at BTR Community. It's also on the website, the homepage. You'll see the capital B with a black background. Just click on that and become a member for $24 a year, and that will actually support the network and support the overall Black Talk Radio Network. It will assist in that as somewhat as well. But that is where you can give some of your financial energy to ensure that that platform and this platform is continuing to thrive. And I only post there because it is what is, in my opinion, the best thing for us instead of being on the mainstream outlets, because those are controlled by those that have always and will continue to oppress you until you stop making yourself available for that oppression. So give some of your financial energy, become a member at BTR Community, and your identity will not be sold to any bidder. And that, in my opinion, is worth its weight in gold in itself. So definitely engage in that. Also, if you would like to acquire real money, you could do that by going to our website of prosperitymint.com, prosperitymint.com. Check out what's there in inventory, and then email info@prosperitymint.com, info@prosperitymint.com, and someone will get back with you to actually make sure that you understand the overall purchasing process and to assist you in that. So engage in that would be great for us all. So that is where you could do that. Also, please, everyone, continue to support my man, Michael Emmanuel. He has a GoFundMe page, and it's at www.gofundme.com/SamUnionYankee, 5P-3500. and give some of your energy to this young man who's just coming off of chemotherapy so that the family can acquire some of the things that are necessary for him to stay in remission and detoxify his body. Very, very important. Those of you that have given and are continuing to give, greatly appreciate you all. So definitely do that as well. Also, if you're interested in trading the cryptocurrencies, you could do that with us at rcryptocurrency.com, rcryptocurrency.com. You can just do it by way of through BTR Community, or you can go to rcryptocurrency.com and set up your trade coin account with us and trade with us, okay? And we have our meetings every Monday. Tonight is Wednesday. For those of you that are in the preparedness class, we will be having our weekly meeting tonight, okay? So for that, now let's jump into what's in news, then we'll turn it over to Brother Davis, who is waiting and ready to give you another powerful show. Come with paper and pen in hand and your questions and comments all ready to go. Give him a call at 866-510-9025, 866-510-9025. All right, so we're going to jump into what's in the news. First article. A post from Mishtalk. Make America safe. Put Congress on permanent recess. What the sanction bill is really all about. So true. Check out that. It's a lot to it. It's going to cause some displacement, y'all. It definitely, definitely is. And I guess North Korea maybe. Oops, let me turn this down. Sorry about that, y'all. I think I saw something, but I wasn't able to post it. North Korea is going to be testing again tonight or today. So look for that. And, you know, Hawaii is telling its people to prepare and make sure that if a North Korea attacks, do not go outside for 2 weeks. Shelter in place. Stay away from glass. Stay away from the windows. And to make sure you seek shelter and do not go out for 2 weeks because the radioactive fallout could kill you. So that means that they are expecting to use a nuclear device. And they are telling them that they will need to have food for 2 weeks. And they they're really not ready for anything. And I, like I was telling you all yesterday, I've heard some crazy the emergency broadcast from Los Angeles County here in Dallas. Shouldn't happen that way. Should not happen that way at all. But I think that the EAS, the emergency broadcast system, will actually trigger in California. We're saying that will actually be trigger it and say what their emergency broadcast is going to be about, and is going to be a nationwide one from that one. And so that's why they were testing it, to make sure it works, as well as Hawaii is preparing. And they're not really preparing at all. This is why you need to be prepared at all time and what to do in case of a nuclear attack. That's just what is saying. That's what the climate is, and that's what the possibility are. And you can't say that it's fear-mongering because they've used it before in the past. So what makes you think that they won't use it again? Because you're cute, because you're pretty, because you're handsome, because you're rich, because you're in this group or that group? Sorry to tell you, no, that's don't. That's not a determining factor. Control is, ladies and gentlemen, control is. So check out, well, I didn't post anything there. Just wanted to make that you aware of that. Wasn't quite sure, but I know North Korea is attempting to, or probably will do something. It's only a matter of time before something of this comes in a more direct way, especially with what's going on. You could basically see what's happening here. So we definitely, let me just see real quickly if I found, did I find anything? I thought I saw something where on Reuters about that. So I'm not quite sure. So it's a lot that's there. You can kind of find it if it's there. You'll find it is, I think that North Korea is going to be trying something else. But just good for you all to know and to properly have a response for anything, because I don't think it's anything to do with North Korea. It has a whole lot more than that. Yep, okay, here it is. North Korea, expect it as soon as tonight. And this one comes by way of Lying Like a Fox News. I will post this there as well. Well, I'll tell you now real quickly. Let me just real quickly. U.S. is for the 24th, the other day. Oh, that was the U.S. Test the prep for the THAAD system in Alaska. So everything is positioning itself. But there is, and this was Fox. According to Lying Like a Fox News, North Korea ICBM launch is expected as soon as tonight. Each test highlights that Trump's current strategy of containing Kim appears not to be working. And North Korea continues to divide the U.S.-China demands to stop North Korea. ICBM expects as soon as Wednesday night, U.S. officials told Lying Like a Fox News. So check out check that out on Fox. So I won't post it there. It's we already talked about it. So check it out if you're interested in that. Be prepared. Have your family members throughout the world prepare. If they're in Hawaii, they know what's up. They've heard about it. And let me just tell you, I think that this is something that can reach everywhere in the States, because it won't just be something that will be used by one state or another. It's a force multiplier. So let's get back into what's in the news. Just prepare yourselves accordingly. Next article. This one comes from, Okay, next article. This comes from the Miami Herald. Venezuela accuses Rubido, CIA, of plotting toppling Caracas government. Venezuela senior leader charged Senator Marco Rubido and the CIA of plotting to topple the government of Maduro. So check out that article, of course. You have resources. You have assets. You have value. Controllers always want to seize value and seize it and put it under their control, of course. So check out the next article. The article comes from the Washington Post. The standoff between celebrity figurehead Trump and celebrity figurehead Attorney General Sessions escalates. Check out that article. This is why the false flags season is really, really heightened here. Next article from Reuters. Exclusive: U.S. sanctions 13 senior Venezuelan government officials. What's that going to do to the overall price of oil? Check out that. Next article from Press TV. France. This is what France says. U.S. ban on Iran and Russia is illegal. France has raised doubt about the legitimacy of the new U.S. sanctions against Iran and Russia. And there's so much more into this. Check out this. The purge is going to continue to happen. Next article comes from the South China Morning Post. Which U.S. companies are most at risk in a trade war with China? Check out that article. Next article, I got this one from Sputnik News. Is there life on Mars? U.S. government grills NASA on red planet alien history. Check out that. One thing, I never trust anything from that NASA. I would say Nazis associations still in America. That's what, oh man, I just came up with that. Nazi association still in America. That's what they stand for to me. So everything that they say can't be trusted in my eyes. But is it truth about the overall in intelligence life? Of course there is. Of course there is. And in the engagement of things, yes. But the story that you get is going to be filled with lies and deceptive measures for the overall controlling of the general populace. Nothing sincere about Nazis association still in America. So check out that article. Next one, this one comes from Sputnik News. Video released of U.S. U.S. ship firing with the aim of provocation at a Iranian vessel. So check out the article that's there. So that was the article that I posted for what's in the news. We're going to go to Brother Davis. I got to do a couple of things. So when Brother Davis is ending, that's going to end the show. Because I have to get a couple of things done. But those of you that are in the preparedness classes will have a class 15 minutes after the hour. That Tando radio show usually goes off in Central Time. It goes off at 7, 8 o'clock on the East, and at 5 o'clock on the West. So just so you know, it will be on the West. It'll be 5:15, 7:15, or 8:15. So, and when we will start that. So we'll see you all there. But that being said, we're going to bring up my man, my brother, my friend, Brother Davis. Brother Davis is there. Thank you, Brother Davis. Once again, looking forward to another Wise Wednesday. Peace, brother.
It's always good to have this opportunity on Wednesday to come together with my brothers and sisters.
That's right.
In their lines of thought. And one of the reasons why I wanted to focus tonight on how we're preparing is because everything that you're told, and I want you to hear me very clearly, in reference to what's going on in the world and what they're doing and what they're thinking about doing, has no effect on your physical body immediately. It has effect on your mind, which goes back to what I said last night. See, your mind and body belong to the earth. But what's unique about that is that your heart belongs to the heavens. And the reason why I point that out is because we are not to stay in one form. I know that's kind of a curve, but no, we're not to stay in one form. We're energy. We're in constant transition. And I'm going to give you an idea how that is. You know how you get a thought, and that thought takes your mind someplace, and your mind may not have anything to do where you are in the particular moment, but that thought can take you back to a place that you've been before to experience something that you just had deja vu about. See, that was your energy taking you through the process of door that you opened up. You opened the door to that thought, so the energy takes you through there, and you may relive that for a moment or two until you catch yourself, and then all of a sudden you come back to your frame of mind. Well, that has to do with that part of your body that allows you to remember. And a lot of times, people think they'll always have that, and no, you won't. And literally, the sad part about it is now, in this day and age, there are different aspects of chemicals that'll take that from you. You know, that never used to be. I want you to think about that for a minute. That never used to be. People would remember stuff that you couldn't remember and was right there with them. How many times have you heard older people talk about when they were a child? I do it all the time with my children. Because I'm regurgitating memories that brought me joy. Okay? That's just an avenue of the spirit that dwells in you. And we have to understand emotions have a physical effect on our body. Now, I'm bringing out all these things because I want you to see in your preparation plan how you can be able to take control of the things that you have immediate control over. Let's face it, if Korea shoots a missile tonight, what can you do? What would you do? You understand what I'm saying about the dilemma of the mindset? It is important that we have a plan, but in the result of our plan going to fruition, what is it going to bring you? Is it going to bring your family together? What are you trying to achieve with your plan? You see, we are at a point now where the world has become so hostile with itself that we just received the byproduct of that hostility. And the sad part about that is that there are times where there's nothing we can do about it and we feel helpless. This is Brother Davis on the Wise Wednesday. I'm coming at you tonight talking about the preparation process. What is the best way you can prepare mentally and what you can do in that process of preparation. And the reason why is because we are all there at one time or another. We're dealing with emotions of ego, desire, anger, hatred, fear, anxiety, agitation, greed. These things all play a role in our thought process. But until we can get them to a point where we can control them, we have to understand they are just feelings. And see, feelings are fleeting. And you know that. Sometimes you feel one way 1 minute, 5 minutes later you forgot all about that and you're feeling something else. These are the things that we must really be able to focus on, how we can control them, because that may save our lives. A lot of this here hostility out here in the street with this police brutality is being set off by feelings. And them feelings may not have anything to do with you, but you must stay in a thinking process that allows you to get out of the circumstance. Because if you don't, you already know you could very well be a casualty. One of the reasons why is because we're programmed to be emotional people. They'll tell you that. All black people are too emotional. They're saying that because they want you to take and wear that persona. You wear that persona, then when they look at you, they perceive that without even saying a word to you. And the reason why I'm bringing this out is because now they're starting to get so hostile, it don't even make a difference what you're thinking. You have to be able to identify situations before they even develop. Now, I know that a lot of you are saying, well, how do you do that? You got to look at and plan where you're going, what you're doing. You got to look at a situation and decide, do you want to do something basic? It might be just go to a particular place to get gas. But if you pull up in there and all of a sudden you see a bunch of people in there with a Union Jack flags or that so-called rebel flag, you have to be able to discern if you are in danger or not. And we have to, the reason why we have to control our emotions, because sometimes our egos will get us in trouble. Well, I don't care about these people. You don't have to care about them. We're living in a time in which the president is putting people in place to perpetuate this hostile atmosphere. Not to only you, that's a black person, but other people. Muslims, Mexicans. See, and the reason why I pointed out to you is because all through history, or should I say the modern era of movies and everything, there's always a bad guy. Remember when it was cowboys, the Indians was the bad guy. It was their land, but they were the bad guy. But that's how it was portrayed, okay? I know some of you are saying, well, I remember watching cowboys and Indians, and I thought, that's right, because they were giving you the illusion of what they how they wanted to portray it. It had nothing to do with the truth. Then came along the drug scene where they wanted it to look cool to you. And as it began to look cool, you've seen movies like Superfly and Three the Hard Way and stuff that elevated black people but only made them a hero to their people. I'm hoping y'all getting the dynamics of this. Because literally, they're taking this, they're taking us somewhere, okay? And as you remember when drugs came on the scene, movies fantasized about them. Remember, marijuana was here and there, but it was really in the back room. All of a sudden, these movies started moving it to the forefront. Why? Because they wanted to have an influence on you. You see, the reason why they wanted to have an influence on you is because they always had a plan. They're operating in a plan right now. And that plan has been destructive to us as a people. From the government policies to our inner city neighborhoods. And we must stop being naive about that. So let's say a bomb was dropped. North Korea dropped a bomb. Okay? Now, it may not affect your neighborhood immediately, but somebody in that neighborhood is going to look at it as something more than it is. Why? Because they don't get excited over things that doesn't affect people. What does that mean? I mean, they're drama folk. They're very much drama folk. You all been in a place where a fight starts, 200 or 300 people gather to agitate it, and before you know, the fight is on, and all of a sudden you hear a bunch of noise and this and that. You see, that program would never have worked in the early 60s, but it does now. Because in the early 60s, that, if it was on the street, the neighbors would have broke that up. Yeah, the same ones who probably break your fights up, scold you or spank you, and call your mom, and when you got home, she did the same thing. So the dynamic of what is going on then and what is going on now are very different, but very real. So it is so important that we are able to control our emotions as a part of our defense mechanism, because it will, in this dear era of time, it will get you in trouble. Because they have already, the media has given a perception of the world to about black people. I know, as an African-American male, and I say that because a lot of people are getting caught up in whether we're black or white or whatever. Don't make a difference. I'm just giving a title. I see what's happening to my brothers and sisters, and it's happening on such a scale that they're not identifying with it. And it has to do with their emotions. You see, right now, you are in what's called the fear phase. Everything that's happened is to induce fear in you. Look at the movies on TV. Look at what's going on in the streets. And a lot of this stuff isn't going on. You hear when they say Chicago had 120 killings over the weekend, but you don't ever hear about who died. How do you know that even happened? I hope y'all are beginning to understand that this, a lot of this false flag construction in order to throw your thought process in the direction they wanted to go. So I pursued that one day when they had all these here murders, and I called a few people that I know. I said, well, you know, all that murder's going on up here. How many people you know that died? You know what they said? Well, you know what? I don't know any of them. I said, you don't know any of them? Said, no, I don't know any of them. I said, well, can you do me a favor and check around and see just how many people knew somebody that died? Chicago is a big city. I mean, you come across situations where don't nobody know who the person was or what happened. But when you find the same situation being put in the news over and over, and don't nobody know none of these people, you begin to realize this may be all based on a lie on something they're trying to do. And they're trying to do something out there in Chicago right now. Now, I know at this stage, when anytime somebody sees that red light or that bubble behind them, there is an intense, intense feeling come over it. Now, I'm not saying what that feeling is. It might just be anxiety. In your mind, you already know that people have lost their lives in these situations. So, your thought process must be slowed down, not speed up. Because when you speed it up, it becomes agitated. You don't want it agitated. An agitated mind does not work to your advantage. It works to their advantage. You might feel as though you're being picked on, but it don't make a difference how you feel. What makes a difference is how you are going to deal with you in that present situation. Okay? This is what is important for us to understand. We must get beyond the present situation. because you know when you see that, you don't know if you're dealing with a hostile cop or a racist or a weak man with authority. And I mean, that's a lot of parameter here. A hostile cop, a racist, or a weak man with authority. Because a weak man with authority is a coward. He has a gun. He's already scared. So therefore, any little misinterpretation on his part is going to set him off. You must understand that your point and objective is to, first, obey the process. What is the process? Keep your hands in clear view. Don't move your head a lot. I know that seems stupid. But when they see you looking around, they interpret that, and guess what? Now you're looking for a gun. I know. It seems like it's stupid. But these are the understandings we need to operate in today. Because when we don't, it can be costly. And a cost more than we want to pay. Put your hands on the steering wheel. Now, one of the things I do is I put my wallet on the dashboard. Why? So that everything is in plain sight. Because I don't know, like I said, who or what is approaching my vehicle. I do know this. Chances are, he's not alone, and he's probably got somebody with him on the back end of the car. So you're moving your head around side to side is giving them interpretive certainty. Now, I'm telling you this because I was in this personally. This was before the atmosphere was so hostile, but we had purchased a car. My wife had come to pick me up off work that night, and she had children in the back seat. And the dogs, we had a dog, one or two dogs, either or. But when the police light went on, I said to my children, keep your hands in plain sight. Don't get excited. I said, matter of fact, don't even say nothing. I said to my wife, I said, baby, just relax, stay calm. Keep your hands in sight so that when they look in the car, they can see that we're not trying to hide something, okay? Because that's what they're looking. When they look for your hands, they're looking to see if they're clenching anything, even if it's a wallet. Anything in your hands is interpretive. And see, you have to understand that when you're dealing with a scared police officer, you even have to be very careful about what you say. Because remember the brother who got shot because he said he had a weapon in the car. Although he had a permit to carry and said that, he was killed. Shot in cold blood. Murdered. Let's be for real. But people are saying, well, he did everything right. Well, if you were in that situation, you would be tense. And I'm quite sure he was tense to a certain degree. But he was a professional. He was an educator. Believe me, when he said, officer, I have a weapon and a permit to carry, he did not expect this officer to automatically pull out his weapon and say, let me see your hands. Boom! That's how quick it was. He never seen the car. He never seen his gun. Although he was legally... he had the right to carry. So this is why I'm taking my time to get you to understand the importance of the role that you play in a situation where you are confronted with police and how your emotions can get you in trouble. Now, we're coming up on a break. This is the first break, I believe. And I want you to understand that it doesn't make a difference what a person tells you. When you're in that situation, you must have the ability to get through it.
Brother Davis, Yeah, there's no break. There's the break is at the top of the hour in the last half hour.
Excellent. Not a problem. Okay, thank you very much, man. Is there anybody in the calls? Anybody call yet? Because listen, I want you to call, my brothers and sisters. And the reason why I want you to call is because I can tell you everything to do right. It doesn't make a difference what you do. Because literally, we have found that out. In every situation, the people who did the right thing, some of them still ended up dead. So I'm arming you as best I can to let you know the biggest trigger that they're looking for is you to be emotional. Because then they can interpret that any way they want you. But you also have to understand this, too. That anytime you're pulled over by a cop, that person to come to that window can be a hostile cop, a racist cop, or a scared coward with authority. And you have to understand each one of them you have to deal with in a unique way. Understand how I said that. It doesn't make a difference what you do right or wrong if you don't do it in a way that is so unique that they don't feel threatened. And that's what you must do. You must defuse a situation that you may not have any control over. So you have to put the pieces in place to your favor. So that as you begin to move on through your thought process, it doesn't stay and linger one place. Okay? Because the bottom line is, you know what routine. You're going to approach your car. If you put that window down before he gets there, he's going to interpret that. But when he approaches the window and he's going to shine a light in, if your hands can be seen and all of a sudden that window goes down, you've literally allowed him to know that I'm not trying to hide nothing from you. I want to communicate to you. Okay? And that communication can start off in many ways. You can start off with good evening, officer, or you can start off with I didn't know I was speeding. Now, you have to understand, you're breaking the ice. You may not have been speeding, your light might have been out, but what you're doing is you're breaking the ice with him to let him know that you are an articulate person. Because understand, they already have a preconceived idea of who or what you are. So in you speaking, you allow him to begin to interact.
Brother Davis,
is there anybody? Is there a caller in the booth?
Yes. Before we go to the caller, Brother Davis said, after I got out the military, anybody that's been in the military, you know, even after you get out, the mannerisms and the way that you speak kind of stick with you. And that was my way of disarming cops when I would get pulled over, is I would speak to them as I was talking to a superior officer. It wasn't about me kissing butt. It wasn't about, anything other than, I'm going to talk to this person like I was talking to my first sergeant or my captain or whatever. And I found that often disarmed them.
Absolutely. And see, that's what I mean about thinking in reference to your ability to defuse the situation. And if those of you are listening, if you heard Brother Scotty, he gave you a clarity on how he approaches these circumstances and how it actually worked to his advantage, because it subdued them to understand that he had a respect for authority. See what I'm saying? And the whole thing is, and we have to understand this, we have to get away from the egotistical concept of running our mouths. See, some people start the conversation, what you doing me for? See? You started it wrong.
Yeah.
If you're going to approach this, go ahead, Brother Scotty.
Yeah, it wasn't that I so much respect authority, is that I'm trying to make it home. Without a ticket, if possible, and, of course, with my life.
Absolutely.
You do got a call from Colorado. Area code 719 is on the board.
Okay, bring him up, Scotty.
719.
Come on, brother.
How you doing, Scotty? How you doing, Brother Davis? How you doing?
Good, good.
All right, my brother. Good to hear you.
This is Ramon from Colorado. Brother Davis, you make me recall listening to Scotty one day about his disapproval for Mr. Neely Fuller Jr.'s assessment of, or his comment about black men being the most impotent, I'm paraphrasing now, one of the most impotent creatures on, or species on the face of the earth right now. Just by you saying what you said about, you know, having some type of codification about dealing with police when getting pulled over, it brings me to, like I said, it made me think about what Scotty said and actually be able to put my own clarification on Mr. Neely Ford Jr.'s statement. I'm seeing it as you're saying it, and Scotty really just used the right words, you know, with disarming. A lot of us really are not aware that this is a war environment, therefore they have no war mind, and it's hard for them to conceive and even perceive what you're saying as a necessity for this current climate, that we're in a war zone and you really do need to act like you understand at any given time you may be called to arms. So if you can avoid any calamities, you know, this is your time to start learning how to do it now. And I do agree with you, what you're saying, and like I said, it did help bring clarity to what Mr. Neely Fuller Jr., I'm thinking that's what he's saying. He's not saying that we're weak individuals. He's just saying our understanding or misunderstanding of this problem is leading us to be very weak and vulnerable. Now I'm using my line.
I appreciate your addition, my brother. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something. You make a very good point. But in the realm of a circumstance, when you're being stopped, you're going to focus on, and I want to be very clear about this, you want to focus on, like Scotty said, going home. Because they literally have a lot of opinions. And if you, perfect example, they'll put a gun on you, they'll put drugs on you. The whole thing is to defuse it. Because we're dealing with, and now you heard me say this before, we are dealing with the most devastating killing machine ever known to humanity. And they have no compassion. Now, how can I say they have no compassion? Because you could see by the way they're looking at this as a body count. The sad part about it is, most of the people who are endorsing their opinion about it won't until they become the victim or know a victim. Because now, they're starting to get indiscriminate. Indiscriminate means that they're killing white people, they're killing Mexicans, and they're killing black people. And this is going to go on. And the reason why it's going to go on is because no one is to start killing them. Now, I don't say that because that's what you should go out and do. No. What I say that is because I know that what they're trying to do is to get, especially African America, to a point in which they are starting to literally give the appearance of planning something. You know why? Because then they can interpret it. And they'll only interpret it for their people. The whole world knows about the destructiveness of the United States government. Don't kid yourself. They kid themselves. They know. And the reason why they know is because now, killing has been a way of possession. And you know, it's sad, but true. When they go in and they kill off the people, they possess their land, they possess their material.
Brother Davis.
Yes, brother.
There was a situation, someone sent me a story, and I bookmarked it because I'm going to do a video on it, a video presentation on this story, but going more in depth into the history and background. But there's a story coming out of California. I think it's coming out of Southern California. I don't have it in front of me right now. But a police officer in a car was attacked by a large group of people. And they caused extensive damage to the car, to the vehicle. But the cops stayed inside of the vehicle and never got out the vehicle. And so they didn't try to pull them out or anything. And that's the end, and that was the end of it. And so anyway, what reminded me, though, was even though, you know, I don't like the individual known as JFK, John Fitzgerald Kennedy, because I know of a lot of underhanded stuff that he was doing while talking, you know, this peace mess to the public behind the scenes. You know, he ain't had no problem with the FBI COINTELPRO operation that was assassinating, you know, black people and disrupting non-white people's movements for justice. But it reminded me of something he said about those who prevent, and I'm paraphrasing, those who prevent peaceful revolution bring about the inevitability of a violent one. And that's what I saw when I read that story and watched the video of these individuals attacking the police car and damaging it and not even caring about, you know, whether or not this person in the vehicle could shoot them or not. I also got images in my mind of the Boston Massacre, where you had colonists tired of police brutality of their day who you know, sparked a revolution by their actions, by confronting British soldiers, and they eventually got killed. So I'm watching all these things unfold, and I'm just wondering if people really know the precipice that we have approached, with so many people becoming awakening to the fact of this evil system and what it's doing to individuals.
Absolutely. And you know, what's really sad about it is that the people who are benefiting by the system, who also see this, what's going on, are not voicing themselves. They started voicing themselves, the volume would get greater only because it starts to represent those victims that look like those people who are perpetrating the crime. And those people who are sitting back innocent, who ordinarily said nothing, now have a volume. But since they're not, we have to be thoroughly focused on every one of these situations, because the cost has been too great already. You make a very good point, Scott. You make a very good point. And you know, the sad part about it is that policeman in that car, if he goes out and identifies, he's going to identify it as a group of blacks or a group of Hispanics or even a group of white people. But he's going to see a group out of the two or three he recognizes. And that's going to be another problem if it happens again. And the sad part about it is that most of the time, people don't see the truth. Now, what do I mean by that? I mean that the victims that they make in movies, like remember one time the Russians were the victims, then another time the drugs were the victims, and then another time the Muslims are the victims. Well, all the time, we are the victims. Through every age of American growth, we have always remained the victims. And that's why it's so important for us to be able to understand that. Because we're in a very hostile time. I mean, very hostile time. And for those of you who don't really understand how hostile, get out of your neighborhood. Get out of your comfort zone. And you'll see how hostile. Because I'm going to tell you, perfect example was the other day with the guy who cut himself and then went out and killed somebody, or two people or something. It's literally every aspect of what we thought could never happen is happening. And there's a reason for it. And a lot of people may have a lot of different ideas for it, but I believe we just at the stage right now where all of this negativity is taking a toll. then there would be a great cost. And the people who are going to absorb the most of the cost are the people who got the most negative karma. Because what you do comes back to you. That's a universal law. You heard me say that before. So, in reality, I do think that what we should be doing is having these type of meetings in our communities with our children. But you get from the show tonight, you need to sit down and talk to them. And say, you know what, I know you're going through something, but when you get stopped, don't follow your feelings. Because your feelings are a good servant, but it's a poor master. Let me repeat that. Your feelings are a good servant, but it's a poor master. And it's a human condition. And why? Because negative feelings arise whenever you are assaulted, and you may feel assaulted when they start to say, stop, what's your name? Let me see some ID. And watch for that, because guess what? This Sessions guy, he would allow that. Now he's on the ropes now. They say he's getting ready to get rid of him. But it may get worse, because guess what? If they get rid of him and they put Giuliani in there, Giuliani believes the search and seizure and believes in profiling. So guess what? Do you think for a minute he's going to change anything? We have to be serious and in some cases methodical about what we say, how we say it, to get the result we want. And once again, remember, you may be dealing with somebody who's already a racist in nature, or who might already have radical feelings, or who may just be a weak, coward individual. And a lot of them, literally, they go for jobs like that with authority. Police department, prison guards, because that position gives them some authority. And if you've been have a small opinion of yourself all your life, and all of a sudden you get authority, you walk around with a chip on your shoulder, and you will deny it. You will deny it to your dying day. But your mind has already developed a deep melodic thought process in reference to a certain few people, and that's what we are. Most of these white police officers out here have already established a thought process about us as a people. And the sad part about it is that you see it on every level. Remember the Skip Gates incident when the cops came to his house, thought he was breaking into his own house? You know what they saw? They didn't see a professor at an Ivy League school. They saw a nigga on the porch. Now, you see what I'm saying? Now, I don't use that term a lot. I just wanted to show you the arrogance that they think from. And you eventually see what had to happen to that. What it came down to is the President of the United States, since he was a friend of him, had to cool that old situation down. But now it flared up, because guess what? 90% of the people you talk to will tell you the only reason why Trump was elected was because of Obama. They want to say, okay, well, we gave you what you wanted, and this is what we want. More or less. It's a poor aspect. But it's truth. And these people now have become hostile with themselves. They don't even think in terms of their best interests. Because look, when they shut down this is a sidebar. If they shut down this health care, do you realize it's going to affect more white people than black? When they cut off food stamps, do you know it's going to affect more white people than black? When they shut off Section 8, do you know? That's right. It's going to affect more white people than black people. But these are the same people that voted him so that he could have the so-called Make America Great. America is only great because of the black free labor that they forced upon the people. Other than that, it would be another poor country. This is Brother Davis on a Wise Wednesday. We're coming up on a break. Look, pick up your phone, y'all, because I'm going to tell you something. I didn't get into the aspects of dull-mindedness. I didn't get to the aspect of agitation. I didn't get into the aspect. All of these things play a role of anxiety. You know, some people get so caught up in anxiety, they freeze. They turn around in a surprise and throw their hands up, and a cop. That anxiety can get him killed, because the cop can interpret it any way he wants to. And the sad part about it is, even if they interpret it wrong, even if they do something that they totally know was out of the way, i.e. the cop to put a gun on the guy in South Carolina, and what's caught on tape, he will not be given the type of judgment that he's being given, he has already given to the person that he killed. I want y'all to pick up your phones. Give us some calls here, because I'm going to tell you, I got a lot of information. I've been scanning this, because literally, I want to lead you to understand the importance of the stealth nature in any given situation that possesses and encompasses all that you love, so you can see the ripple effect of one mistake. This is Brother Davis on A Wise Wednesday. We're coming at you from Black Talk Radio. Please do look for an opportunity to make a contribution. This is a tool for us, and we must maintain it. So, after this break, pick up your phones. Give us a call. Let's talk about a situation that could have happened to you, or how you could thus harm a situation that could turn in something.
Hello?
Yes. Now wait after the break, sister. We'll come right in. Okay? We'll come at you right after the break. This is Brother Davis on A Wise Wednesday.
Black Talk Radio, your choice for digital black radio. New black media for the new millennium.
Welcome back. Can we go to the caller in queue?
Yes, area code 404. You're on Tando Radio Show on The Wise Wednesday. Go ahead with your question or comment for Brother Davis.
Yes, hi, everybody. This is Jada from Atlanta. Davis. I had a question. I know that when Brother Scotty was talking about when the police had, addressed him in that manner away, when they had came up to the car and, you know, he spoke with authority like when he was in the military. Was that when he spoke to them? Did he break their their white supremacy or because they feel that they're better than us anyway. So did Brother Scotty or Brother Davis, if both of you guys can answer the question, were you appealing to their arrogance and saying, he's appealing to me, so I'm better than him, so I'm gonna let him go type thing, I'm out in public, so let me, I'm distracted a little bit. Sorry about that. Basically, what I'm asking is, did the officer in his mind think that you were appealing to his white superiority, like, oh, I got him, he's bowing down to me type mentality? And I guess that's what I'm asking.
Brother Davis?
Well, hey, Scott, you take that first, and then I'll give my answer.
Okay. When I mean I spoke to them like I was in the military, and a lot of people in the South speak this way too, as an addition, but I use terms like sir, ma'am. Let me give an example. For example, I was in Charlotte and I was leaving a bar, and I was driving a used van that I had recently purchased for the person I was dating at the time and also have a child by. And so the van rear lights were not working, and this was at night. And so I didn't have any kind of tail lights. So when the officer pulled me over, when he came up to the vehicle, I was like, "How are you doing tonight, sir? May I ask the reason why you stopped me? Thank you." And then he told me that my lights was out. Then I said, "Oh, wow, sir, I just bought this vehicle, and I'm not aware that it had those sort of issues. May I get out so I can examine it myself, sir?" And he was like, "Sure." So we both go to the back of the car and we're looking at it. And, you know, he then tells me, "Look, this is what I want you to do. I want you to turn on your emergency lights. Let's see if those work." They did work. He was like, "Just drive home safe and use your emergency lights." So there have been a number of situations where I have been stopped, and the outcome has always been good, and I can't say what those individuals was thinking. It was just a matter of habit of me had been in the military of me just speaking that way to them. So they could have been thinking, "Hey, this guy sound like he been in the military, or he's a veteran," and they may have been disarmed for patriotism and want to cut me a break because they felt like I was in service to white supremacy or whatever. So, like when I was saying to Brother Davis about, it wasn't that I respect authority, because I bump heads with many people in the military when they try to tell me something that wasn't right, but it was just a survival mechanism, knowing I'm out here by myself and that this person is licensed to do what he's doing. And so I might as well adopt the attitude that's going to provide me with the best outcome. So I meant that I disarmed them instead of being like what Brother Davis was saying. Let's say they pull me over and when the cop come up to me and I'd be like, what you pulling me over for? I wasn't speeding. Y'all always out here harassing people, even though that may be what they do. You know what I'm saying? So that person's going to get that individual cop or slave catcher is going to get agitated with me, and then he's going to be looking to do me harm. So, Brother Davis.
Yes, Scotty, you're right. And, you know, sister, never, never try to interpret a cop. You may be wrong. You stay focused on what your needs are, because regardless of what his frame of mind is, you have to live through this. You can't predict what any cop's frame of mind is. And you know, I really should point out that the circumstances for a woman may be a whole lot different being stopped at night by a cop than it is for a man. Because cops are human, and some humans cannot control their emotions, and before you know it, their emotions become an action. And this has happened time and time again. So don't try to interpret. As a woman, I would say, look, if you get that light, you don't stop till you got to the place that got the most light. So that there's no question that he can see when he looks in your car, and you can see, and anybody else or any other camera can see. Because these things all work to your advantage. And if he talks to the window and he says, "Well, I put the light on you 4 miles back," "Yes, officer, I didn't mean to disrespect you. I put my emergency flashers on because I was looking for a proper, appropriate place to pull over, and I seen this here AMPM up here or Wawa, so I figured if I made it to the Wawa, I could pull over and we could find out what the source of the problem is." But always, as a woman, make no mistake. The darker a place you pull over, the greater the cloak you put in your search, you put in his favor, or their favor. So you make sure that you cover yourself as much as you can and be seen by as many as you can. Don't pull over right away. If it's too dark, put your flashers on. That helps you identify. It's an emergency situation to you, and you go to the place that has the most lighting. And I don't care if you got to go 5 miles. I don't care if you got to go 50 miles. You got to go to a place that you feel secure, and you're not going to feel secure in a dark area. I hope that we helped you with your question there, Sister Jada.
Yeah, you did, and I really appreciate it, because what it did was it clarified areas of sometimes we overthink and try to overthink someone else where that can actually be detrimental to you as opposed to helping you, instead of your own wisdom kicking in and allowing it to flow the way it's supposed to flow. And it can cause, you know, trying to overthink someone else can cause you more harm than good. And I appreciate that, because even me living in Atlanta, we've been pulled over, but it's the same thing. Respect goes a long way. And I've never had an issue with a cop, even when with me and my husband, SWAT pulled us over, and it was ugly, and, you know, they had their hand on their gun, but we were still respectful. And when they told me to go in the back of the car and put my hands up on the back of the car, you know, and to pat me down and see if we had any firearm, and it was my husband even did, but they were just like this, that, and a third, and they saw that he had a military ID. They kind of, you know, were kinder, and they were just like, we're sorry, there's a lot of drug dealers in this area, this, that, and the third. And it was the same thing about a light. So it's all in how you do it. But I like how you guys really presented it, and we have to teach our young children how to deal with situations and disarm them. And sometimes we as parents, because, you know, we do forget. So I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Brother Davis, you have another call. You ready to take it? Or did you want to respond to what she said?
Yeah, I do. It's just a side note. Y'all down in Atlanta, know anytime you're in Cobb County, anytime, day or night, because it's a different animal over there. And you know what I'm talking about, Sister Jada, so we don't have to elaborate on it. Okay, let's go to the next call. Thank you.
Area code 423. You're on Tando Radio Show on the Wise Wednesday with Brother Davis. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Can I be heard?
Yes.
Greetings, Scotty. Greetings, Brother Davis. Greetings, Tando. I just wanted to add on to that. This is Jerry calling out of Chattanooga, and at Cobb County, Floyd County, that you were just speaking of, it's the same way up here in Chattanooga. We just a few hours away from them. And it's what normally happens, you hit it right on the head when you say that they go into these occupations with this type of mindset. So, and Scotty was right. When most of us from the South, we're raised that way to speak in that manner. But right now, with all of the injustice, I notice that it's a lot of us who, whether we know the law, think we know the law, or only know parts of it, we want to make that stance, even though it's our right. But a lot of times, more times than not, it ends up in a tragic situation. And for what Scotty was saying, he doesn't know if what these people were thinking. I tend to look at these people in their eye, something that they don't like, but with my upbringing and me being in the military, this is something that I was trained to do, and I continue to do it right to this day. They don't want you doing that, but when you add those yes sir, no sir, yes ma'am, no ma'ams to it, don't think of it as a submission, because as they say all the time, they were just trying to make sure that they get home. You have to have that same mentality that you just want to get home. You are in a vulnerable situation, and any misstep could lead to your death and the death of the passengers that's riding with you. So we always got to keep that in mind. And I just wanted to add that part to the conversation, and I'll mute my line.
Excellent attribute, man. Excellent attribute. And listen, anybody that has given a concept of what they went through and how they experienced it, these are all tools in your arsenal. And when I say tools in your arsenal, I mean these are things that you could literally incorporate if you are stopped. That's why I point out different things, especially with ladies at night. Go to a lively lit area. I'm going to tell you, myself, I go to a lit area, too, because as an African-American, what's going on, hey, you're going to put up with my emergency signal. And even if you don't, at least if something goes down, I'm going to be in a lit area. Camera's going to have more than your version.
Brother Davis.
You have to think in terms of that. Yeah, yeah, Brother Scott.
Yeah, we got another caller. Before we go to the caller, I was once dating this attorney. She lived in Durham, North Carolina, and that happened to her to where the police put lights on her, and she was in a rural area. In the rural area, we don't have street lights and whatnot. So she just drove the speed limit till she got to a convenience store. So it's important, though, those people are going to be mad that you didn't pull over right away. So what she explained to the person is that she said she told him that, you know, there are reports of people buying blue lights and fitting them to their cars and then victimizing people, robbing people, kidnapping people. So it's not that I was disobeying you, sir. It was that I wanted to make sure I was in an area where other people were so that in case you were not a true police officer, then, you know, I might could have some help. And it went on from there. You know, it de-escalated. Because they're going to be mad if you don't pull over. But just explain to them that people impersonate police vehicles all the time with blue lights and whatnot. But you do have another caller from the Atlanta area. We got Brother Mario on the line. Brother Mario, welcome to Tando Radio Show. You're on Wise Wednesdays with Brother Davis. Go ahead with your question or comment.
Greetings, Brother Scotty. How you doing, Brother
Greetings.
Davis?
Greetings, brother.
Very interesting topic. I just wanted to add to the discussion a couple of points. We just recently did a show on how the court systems have changed the laws basically by just deciding to view cases in a different manner. In the common law and in the past, a person had a right to defend themselves if they were being unlawfully detained or if they were being unlawfully arrested, even to the point, you know, of the cop or the police officer losing their life. If they're in the wrong, they were in the wrong. And the courts justified that. Around the 60s or the 70s, the court cases started to flip-flop on that. They no longer emphasized whether it was a lawful or an unlawful detainment. They address whether the citizen had a right to resist arrest. So they came up with cases to where if a law officer, even if he is not acting under the law correctly, that the citizen no longer had the right to resist. And the officer can escalate the event even to the death of the citizen if need be, in the case of arresting them. So what you're talking about is very powerful, because we need to learn how to fight our battles in the court system. And like you say, be able to, you know, live through the event and get home to our loved ones and our families, and, you know, be able to get, you know, reconciliation on the back end in the courts, just to make sure that, you know, we at least extend our own lives. Also, to Brother Scotty's point, when I was in college, me and a friend were coming back from New Orleans, and it was very late at night, around 1 or 2, but it did happen to be a Saturday night. But, you know, we were speeding, and they turned the lights on, and we were on kind of like it was an expressway, but, you know, it wasn't much traffic. So we kept going. I was taught that, you know, you're dealing with the police, you get to the most public place that you can. So we kept going. He ended up calling back up. So by the time we got off the exit and into an area that was, you know, populated, because it was still Saturday night, you know, we stopped in a place where cars physically had to slow down and they could see everything that was going on. But, you know, it was around 2 or 3 police cars behind us. And, you know, of course, they expressed their displeasure and, you know, interrogated us about, you know, why we didn't stop on the highway. So, you know, they made us jump through a whole lot of hoops, and, you know, they searched the car, and, you know, we had to sit on the side of the road, and, you know, they would kind of accuse us of running drugs and, you know, just trying to separate us and see if our stories were matching. We had to go through the whole nine. But, you know, at the end of the day, we were both respectful. And, you know, we had college IDs that they saw and observed. And, you know, even though they were upset, they let us go. I mean, they just let us go. They didn't have anything on us. So I think us being able to keep cool heads, you know, despite them trying to intimidate us and, you know, make us jump through hoops, it could have escalated very easily into a very hectic situation. So I just wanted to add that and, you know, comment on it's a good show today, brother. Very good show.
Thank you, brother. Thank you for your content. And once again, there's another experience where he said, I mean, he was humiliated. He had to go through the whole nine yards, but it no longer was focused on the slop itself. The focus then became on going home that night. And see, that's what we have to understand. Regardless of what those police officers are thinking, if we learn the ability to de-escalate ourselves and do the things that at least work in our favor, that improves our possibility. Because like I said, once again, this cop who pulls you over could be in any frame of mind. And he could have hostilities you don't even know about. But don't worry about that. You focus on you. Because if you don't, now here's reality. I've seen people get so nervous that they get anxiety at that. And you know, it's sad when you live in a society that just because you're stopped by the police department for something that may not even exist, that you would get an anxiety attack that is so bad it debilitates you. Because once again, you give them the opportunity to interpret what they see. So it is so important for us to slow right away our thought process. Even when you see that light go on, if it's not an appropriate place to park, you find a place that is suitably for this circumstance, is lit preferably very well, this camera's over, and in the process of getting there, you start focusing on your breathing, on calming your body down. Because one of the things they're going to look at is, are you sweating? Do you look tense? Now, they may be totally off base, but if they see you sweating heavy and you look intense, they're looking at what they're... All of these are classic symptoms of somebody either trying to hide something or about to do something. They may be totally off base, but it's not for you to decide. You can always explain your frame of mind and give any opportunity. But you must work to the position where you're having the communication that will offer you the opportunity. Now, the reasons that these people are calling in are to give tools for your box, your toolbox, so that when and if this ever happens, and I pray it doesn't, you at least have the skill set to be able to make the right decisions and with a lucid mind. A lucid mind is a mind that is focused on you achieving what it is that you want to achieve. Because if you don't, and other things kick in, and agitation can be one of them. I've seen people get agitated so much that they just got to bark. When I say bark, I mean say something that they ain't got nothing to say. What do you want? It adds to the dynamic of that officer firing set when you come off like that. You know what I'm saying? So we have to be able to control our emotions. We have to put our feelings in check. I don't care if you feel that they're being ignorant. I don't care if you feel that you're angry and hate being stopped. I don't care if fear, anxiety, and worry kick in. I don't even care if you get so agitated that you can't even think. You must start with your breathing. Understand the process, and you can get your way back to a lucid mind where you can at least disarm the circumstance. Because anything else and give you a different result that you may not want. Now, once again, these police officers are coming in a plethora of flavors. You got state, local, and then you got federal police officers. For those of you who don't know yet, some of you may have seen cars riding around that says federal police officer. That means that they have jurisdiction anywhere in the continental United States. And see, this is something that we really don't want, but this is something else that they're pushing for. And the reason why they're pushing for it is because they feel it's going to serve them better in manipulating society more. Okay, and there's serious manipulation is going on. Because I'm going to tell you something. Any situation now, even a doctor's visit, can be confrontational. You understand what I'm saying? So literally, if you go to the doctor's office and the doctor says, well, you know, I think you need a flu shot. Oh, no, I ain't getting no flu shot. Well, you came here for us to help you. We're going to give you a flu shot. No, I ain't getting no flu shot. Well, that doctor could call the police and say you're being unruly. Now, here's what they're not telling you. Anytime you get a flu shot, the doctor gets a kickback. They know that, did you? See, so he's actually serving his own purpose. And if it gets to that point, they will elevate it there, if it gets to that point. Because you have to understand, whenever you go to somebody, you're willing to submit to a certain degree of their authority. And they're using doctors left and right for all of this here immunization and all of that. And they get kickbacks. And they're not going to tell you that. It's only through due diligence that I know it. Nobody's knocking on the door saying, oh, look, go to the doctor's office and get a flu shot to get a kickback. This flu shot is killing people now. Immunizations are killing people now. And he's getting a kickback. So what do you think he's going to do? I'm only bringing this out to your attention is because now it's reached that kind of atmosphere. For those of you who don't know, the Patriot Act and the NADA have taken away all your rights. Literally. Don't take my word for it. Do your due diligence. If you have a Social Security card here in the United States, they have authority over you. Don't take my word for it. Do your own due diligence. Pretty soon they're going to cut down your range of travel. That's why they talk states' rights. Because guess what? You can be living in Kentucky. But if you want to go in Ohio, and Ohio and Kentucky have a beef, you can get pulled over in Ohio with a Kentucky license, and they say, look, we don't see that as authorized identification. What else you got? You understand the dynamics that are going on here? The reason why I'm trying to point this out to you is because these things are coming. They're talking of federal ID. If they come up with a federal ID, that comes back down to states' rights again. And they're pushing. Look, these Republicans are pushing states' rights hard. And they're doing it for a reason. And everything is evolving technologically. I don't know if you've been to some of these warehouses lately. You know what? They're not hiring a lot of black people. They got robots. Some of them. A lot of them got a lot of Spanish people doing the same job at a cheaper rate. But my wife said to say, well, when I was at, okay, well, all Miller's Core plants, the beer plants, are robotic. Now, they have people to do simple stuff. But when it comes to receiving the product, putting the product in a location, judging the temperature of the product, they got robots doing all of that. And I mean, when you walk in there, they got a big sign, and the sign says, the robot has right of way. And I thought it was crazy. So I asked the guy upstairs. I said, the sign downstairs, he said, yes. And if you don't obey it, we will bar you from coming. You hear the dynamic in there. If you do not obey the sign that says robots have right of way, we will bar you from coming. So this is eventually going to hit the public streets. And when it does, a lot of you have no idea what's about to happen. Well, through some due diligence, and I have to thank my wife for this, I'm finding out there is a whole plethora, a whole plan for robots to be able to sustain a consistency in service enough for them to give you a stipend to stay home and play video games. And if you want to go somewhere and you go in a car that has gas that spews a film in the atmosphere called emissions, it costs you more. Matter of fact, it's going to cost you a fortune to have a car. These are the things in the future. This is why I'm taking the time to prepare you now in interaction. Because now AI is moving at such an alarming rate that pretty soon when that light goes on in the back, that officer won't even be human. And the sad part about that is that a lot of people say, oh, that's way off in the future. I'm going to tell you, when we started doing our research on robotics, they are doing things that I had to literally see for myself to see. So as this starts to perpetuate forward, there literally becomes less use for humans. I know, sounds harsh, but in side note, there's a company in Nebraska right now that puts chips in all of their employees. In Wisconsin. That puts chips in all of their employees, and they love it. They say it makes it convenient for when they go in to buy something, all they do is swipe their hand. They want to go in, all they got to do is swipe their finger. And see, they're trying to make this look attractive as possible. And here's the catch. When this starts to evolve, if you don't get it, you don't become a part of it. Let me repeat that. If you don't get it, you don't become a part of it. And if you remember the beginning when they started coming out with these more animated securities for cars and stuff, and you had the fobs and all of that, and now all you got to think is a touch, pretty soon they'll have bio-identification. Oh, yeah, my wife was saying that the grocery stores now, they got the things where you get a discount with the barcodes and all of that. These are conditioning us to open the door to all of these other things. Listen, we're coming up on another break, the last break in the show tonight. I'm trying to give you a lot in a little period of time. That's why I started out with trying to get you to understand the importance of emotional control in this with different situations with a police stop. Now I'm moving you to understand that through this so-called artificial intelligence, it's moving things, it's putting things on steroids. And it's moving at a very high-speed level.
Brother Davis.
Perpetuating it. Yes, Brother Scotty.
Yeah, we on the other side of the break, Mario wants to chime back in just to let you know.
Okay, not a problem. I'll tell you what, Scott, let's take the break now. That way we can get back to Mario quicker because I think he's going to hit directly on this subject.
In 2008, the Black Talk Media Project launched the digital radio platform, Black Talk Radio Network, the first such platform created to serve the black community specifically. Black Talk Radio Network has grown with a variety of radio hosts, digital radio stations, and podcasters. Web analytics say Black Talk Radio, the platform, has an online reach that ranks it among the top independent black media platforms in the world. All of this is possible because of financial contributions to the nonprofit Black Talk Media Project. If you love the work we do and the voices and perspectives we bring to you every day, make a donation today to ensure that Black Talk Radio is here in the future. Black Talk Radio is new black media for the new millennium.
We'll be back. Let's go to the call.
Brother Davis, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, brother. Come on.
Oh, man, you're on fire today. I went with a client today to an orientation. He was getting a job at the airport, and it is required for them now to not only get fingerprinted, but they also have to get a retinal scan as well. So, you know, the information that you're kicking is coming in live in full effect, and it is here now. You know, because that just blew my mind. I mean, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. If you don't submit to it, you do not have a job. Period.
Absolutely, brother. So, I'm glad that you brought your experience to the table. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Yes. As a matter of fact, you know, the CEO of Google and Amazon, they are letting it be known to the public of their own views and opinions and you know, how they see the future of their companies shaping up and coming into being in the future. And they are telling everybody that the robots or, you know, technology is going to be taking over, where you can get products online from ordering from the warehouse to your doorstep without a human hand even touching it. So you're taking away jobs from physically going to a box store like a Walmart or a Kmart or Sears or what have you, and then you're also taking away the job from the people in the warehouse who would be preparing all these goods for to being shipped, or, you know, to mark and tag or what have you, even the assembly of them.
Brother
so
Mario.
You're
going to
have robots who are doing those in the warehouse. And then from the delivery system, using drones or some kind of computerized or new technology gadget to your doorstep, all without touching a human hand. So we're going to have to be creative in how we redefine ourselves and our economy, because the jobs that we're traditionally used to are disappearing quickly.
Brother Mario,
and there's going to be more competition. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, add to that fast food jobs. People you may see on social media, the fight for 15, and that's among most of these retail workers, but also these fast food workers at McDonald's and places like that. They want $15 an hour. About 3 weeks ago, I was reading in a business publication about a technology company in the Silicon Valley who is getting an infusion of capital to automize fast food restaurants to where there won't even be human beings in those. The robots will be cooking it, cooking the food, and you'll just pay for it with your chip card.
I don't know about y'all. Go ahead, brother. Keep going.
Oh, I just wanted to add one more thing. Mika Scotty is absolutely right. But what I would like the family to understand is that this is not just a plan that's being implemented here. This is a global plan, because most of this technology and the people who are doing the work are in the Asian communities over in China, Japan, and Korea, and things of that nature. They're working on artificial intelligence and robotics to be able to mimic human emotion, to where you're going to be interacting with a robot, but it's going to be able to give you human facial expressions, you know, surprise, and it's going to be, they're also, you know, putting the technology into the phones, you know, Siri and, you know, Echo and all these other types of AI that are able to communicate with you on your phone. And, you know, the more you interact with it, the more data they're receiving on how to tweak the AI to be able to talk to different personalities and be able to encounter different situations in a more humanistic way, to where, you know, you won't even miss a human after a while. But that human interaction is going to have a consequence.
You're absolutely right, brother. And you know what? For those of you who think it's a joke, Google artificial instrument calls the police for a domestic incident. So the woman was hollering at her husband because they was arguing and having a domestic confrontation. She said, "I'm gonna call the police." Well, guess what? AI, that whatever instrument it is, picked up on it, called the police, and recorded it. Played the recording. "I'm gonna call the police." Well, guess what? The police went right to the house. They were in a physical confrontation. They locked them both up. Are y'all getting this picture here? Yes.
Sir, this is Ramon again.
Speak, brother.
Speaking of this, just out of curiosity, you're in the industry right now that they're testing automation on diesels. I mean, am I correct? When are you're a driver, aren't you?
Absolutely, and they do have what's called driverless trucks they're operating with now.
Now, are they forcing y'all, like, my understanding is CDOT, Colorado Department of Transportation, has released that they're going to require a automation system be installed in all semis, regardless if you have the software or not. Have y'all been affected by that yet?
Well, no, because see, that's going to be the first confrontation will be with the manufacturers of trucks. And now here's the catch 22 on that. They'll go ahead and do the work if it's financially feasible. The problem is, are the people willing to purchase those, the trucks and the volumes that they're used to purchasing them with that automation in them? Because we work for companies and they'll say, like, we want cameras on the insides and the outsides and microphones. No. We don't do that. You got to have a camera on the inside of my truck. Now, I understand having one on the outside to see what's happening as I'm driving. But on the inside of my truck, no, I'm not putting up with that. So you got to learn when to set the whole concept down when it deals with you. And I'm going to tell you something. This isn't something that's just going to happen to trucks. This is going to happen in every level of industry that they can put a robot in. And they're going to give, this is their solution. They're going to put you in a box to live, a comfortable box. It might be a two-bedroom box or it might be a one-bedroom box. You may have a little front yard, you may not. You may live in a multiple access community or you may not. You will have a monthly stipend that will be placed on your chip every month. And every time you use or spend, you will use your chip. But here's the sad part about it. You will stay in a controlled environment that will be feed patrolled, and they're going to want you to be happy. What it is a 21st, or should I say a 23rd century prison. You will work what they tell you to work, and you will work when they tell you to work. If you do not conform, you will probably not live in a major metropolitan area. You see, what you are hearing now is me telling you that you will be reduced to the Hunger Games. This is no joke, y'all. These people
well, Brother
are serious.
David, before I move the line again, I did want to add in there to, you know, to give more confirmation to what Brother Mario was saying about AI having its effect on industry. I know particularly as I was finishing off a slavery sentence, I was doing a non-residential program through a halfway house, and they had implemented the retina scan system as early as, I think it may have been like 2008. You didn't no longer have to piss in a cup. You had to do an eye scan and blow into a machine. But particularly the eye scan is the one that would get you, and you had to do a baseline test, and thereafter it was reading markers. So, I mean, not to say that this thing was always accurate, but I would have to say a good 50% of the people that was going through this testing, this artificial intelligence testing, it was hitting them. I'd say that, you know, so that stuff is really advanced, you know, for whether people believe it or not. The eye scanning retina system is really advanced. Thank you, and I'm Nima Lyon.
Brother, I understand, and guess what? That retina scan now is no longer the most serious security they have. Because now they got bio scans where you can wipe your finger and they can tell you if that's your blood, if that's you. The sad part about it is that most of the world that is working on this is not telling the world that needs to know, because that's the world that they'll be controlling with. We have to take two things serious. One is where we stand, and two is what we're willing to pay. Now, to give you knowledge that really is only gotten through your due diligence is that we are evolving. We are waking up spiritually. being more conscious, but we are evolving in what is called the man's sake time, okay? Why I say man's sake time? Because these are all being implicated by man and for man's sake. But we fail to realize that we are spiritual people. You have a spirit in you that man has no control over. And it is energy. But that means that it literally transforms. It's a changeling. We were taught good and evil, life and death. We were taught wrong. And the reason why you were taught wrong is because if you found out what the truth was, you'll realize that those things are not, you are not bound to those things. You are bound to those things in this life. But remember this too. A coward dies 1,000 times. One who stands on its feet dies once. And they don't die like you think they die. They transform. The only reason why they don't want you to know that is because guess what? They got laws now that you can kill yourself. Well, they call it the suicide law. It's actually, it's very common in, I believe, Oregon or upstate Washington. And that means that a person gets so sick that they feel like they don't want to go on, they could literally have their doctor put them in a state of rest and die. So what makes you think they would not implement that? This is why it's important for us to understand. Read, read, read. Even if you don't. Remember Brother Bragg said, sometimes I read stuff I ain't even interested in, but I read it anyway. There's a purpose behind collective knowledge. Collective knowledge only arms you and prepares you for what you may not identify until it happens. But you have to understand that we went to a flea market and what? Well, my wife was speaking to me real quick. Yeah. Right now, people are throwing away books. They're throwing away books. You know why? Because people ain't reading them. The sad part about it is that's where knowledge lies. If we submit ourselves to an electronic world, we will never read. Why? Because read stimulates the mind to be independent. They don't want you independent. That's why this Black Talk Radio is so important to us, because we have a chance to take and collaborate our ideas, come out with a different perspective, and have an independent opinion. Whether it agrees or disagrees is insignificant. Because literally, we have become the targets of this very technology. And what do you think they're going to do with the term they use? And let me be very clear about it. The term, the so-called elite, these people that are behind all these changes, the term they use is called useless eaters. What do you think they're going to do with those so-called useless eaters? Believe me, the plan isn't good. And I'm going to tell you something. What do you see right now? Well, I started my show off about us dealing with the police. What you see right now, this is a part of it. Because they're molding you to be conformative. That's why there's so much fear on your TVs, on your radios, and access to you, so that they knock on that door, they see fear and anxiety. We must know one thing. We are not property. We are spirit living a human existence. And guess what? Their word is not the last word. Guess what? All of this stuff that we're talking about now to prepare you for what is to come, it can all change in the bat of an eye. Because we don't control the universe. But whatever controls the universe can change the whole dynamic, because they are the Almighty. What we need to do is prepare ourselves to be humble to ourselves. Learn to love ourselves. Learn the importance of self-evaluation, self-knowledge. Learn the importance of how to elevate yourself. And the reason being is because these are going to be the tools that you are going to need when this is said and done, and it will. I mean, everybody knows that every civilization comes to its end. Oh, they think they can live forever. That's the premise. That's why they're doing this crap. They think if they can control you and cut down on the population, that they can flourish. But what it is tyranny, slavery, self-destructiveness. We live in a time of universal karma. And believe me, everything you do will return to you. And that's why I tell people all the time that how you behave and how you interact with people every day, that's going to return to you. It's going to return to you in a way that you didn't expect, good or bad or indifferent. So do you think the most flagrant killer of humanity is not going to carry a serious karma? He ain't even going to know what hits you. And here's the catch. When it's hitting me, he may not even know it. And I'm going to tell you, our minds cannot begin to encompass the wrath. And I should even use the term wrath, because it's a negative connotation. But because of the karma that they have put in motion, when it comes back on them, it's going to appear as a wrath only because they put it in motion. You want to do something, focus on where you are, learn who you are. That know thyself, know yourself internally, and then gradually move out externally. And the reason why I tell you that is because when we move to the next level, whether it be through AI or through the master, we are going to need a level of integrity that we must know we live by. Why? Because that's the only way we are going to build a new race. And that's what it's going to amount to. It's going to be purposeful. It's going to be without a whole lot of this. And a lot of people ain't going to make it because they put their karma in motion. I'm not going to follow up with a bunch of when, where, and hows, because my mind is not as vast. But I do know this, that every day when I pray, every day when I meditate, every day when I read, every day when I embrace my wife, it means more to me than yesterday. I believe there's a greater purpose behind that. A good book to open the door for those people who may not quite grasp it is called The Celestial Prophecy. Now, that's not a prophecy, as you may think it is. It's a story, but it tells you how the wholeness is connected. And when you read that, then you'll be ready to elevate yourself to other areas. Because, see, I cannot choose your path. I can help you find it, but I cannot choose it for you, nor can I lead you to it. See, that's what spiritualism is. And there's another book my wife likes called The Four Agreements. Literally, that's a very good book. It talks about the Toltec philosophy. And all of these here things are leading you forward. But the reason why we're going forward is because we can't really do anything about those things around us until they come to our lap. But we can build on what we are to become better tomorrow than we are today. And you have control over what comes in your space as long as you treat your circumstance the way you want to be treated. I tell people all the time, your greatest reward is the karma that you're going to return to you. That's a powerful statement. Listen, this is Brother Davidson on Wise Wednesday. I know we started off, and some of you might even think we went off track, but if you really open your eyes to what we're saying tonight, we're telling you that you have control. If you take control and do not let things get out of control, and you can very well happen when you are stopped by police. We are interacting every day with people that some we love, some that we don't love, some we want to be around, some we don't want to be around. But how you interact with them will determine the type of karma that you are carrying. And the most important thing, so our children are watching and our children are learning, but they're not learning what they need to know. Take responsibility for that. Teach your children well, so you must do your due diligence now. And I'm going to tell you something. in the future, if it is near yet, people should stop eating meat. The meat is so contaminated, every time you turn around the TV, there's something on, or Facebook, there's something crawling in it, there's some kind of... Some meat is good for you, but not meat every meal. Or, like my wife says, get your meat from a quality source, that sort of thing, which is good, too. I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm trying to let you know that literally you're going to make some decisions and you're going to have to do something, because nobody can do this for you. If you want somebody to do it for you, you might as well just sit back and wait till Uncle Sam knocks on the door and says, okay, it's your time. Here, we want you to get this out, we want to get that out, we want to get this out, take this here, then stick it in your hand, we'll get your job, you work 3 hours a day, you live here, we'll control you totally. By the way, you can't go to the bathroom until 9 o'clock at night. See, but this is what it's coming to. And I want to open your eyes to it now, because I'm going to tell you something. My family and I are trying to prepare ourselves and our children as best we can. And we will really be encouraged if you do the same thing. Because as we get through all of this here crapola, there is going to be a different way of life. And that different way of life may require people who are integral, who are spiritually minded, who are community-based, and who are productive to help the rebuilding process. And I'm going to tell you, I like to be a part of that. Now, according to the teachings, I may not remember all the things that I've done in this life. And not everything I've done is good. I want you to understand it. Because we are human, we have an innate nature to do some things that we really ain't got no business doing. And as you grow older and you mature, you begin to identify them clearly and say, oh, wow, I should have dealt with that better. But, oh, well. So this is Brother Davidson of Wise Wednesdays, and I'm going to tell you something. This is an act of love. Because when I have this time with you, I get a chance to share myself and get a chance to get some of you. Brother Scotty, I want to say thank you. I'm Black Talk Radio. I want to say thank you, my brothers and sisters. I want to say thank you. Shout out to Dave. If you hear me or not, brother, it's always good. My wife said best to everybody. And this is Brother Davidson. We out.
All right, all right.
Peace.
Okay, so Tando Radio Show, as we ready to close it out, those who are in that Trade Coin Club or preparedness class, Dave mentioned that it will be going on 15 minutes after 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Coming up here in just about 8 minutes will be New Abolitionist Radio. And so, just wanted to give that information out. Brother Braggs, you want to close us out, please?
Yes, sir. Peace.
Gold dinar would have had serious consequences for the world financial system, but may also have empowered the people of Africa, something black activists say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake. We're slicing cake.
Say the US wants to avoid at all costs.
We're slicing cake.
Say the